Let's open our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. It's a Bible study titled Run Your Race. And I'll be honest, it's a Bible study this week that really spoke to me, encouraged me, convicted me, spoke to me some more. I kind of feel like I'll be preaching out what is my journal today, because it just really, it really hit home. And I trust that the Lord will speak to you in the same way. It's a very applicable Bible study for anyone that's really been walking the Christian life for any amount of time. So we're going to only get through verse 4 today. And so we're going to pick up in verse 1 where it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured so much hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." And Lord, we thank you for your word. You place before us a race, Lord, but you are the author and the finisher of our race. You put us in and you get us to the end. And let us not forget that, God. So we just ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning. I know you will, Lord. I pray that we would receive what you have to say. Anyone in here hard or broken or hurting, God, I trust that you will minister to them. Anyone in here just kind of wanting to give up and turn around or turn back or turn left or turn right, Lord, I know you have a word for them this morning, Lord. So we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. As you read through the scriptures, many of you going through the one-year Bible this with the church, we're challenging the church to go through the one-year Bible. If you weren't here last week, actually, in the very back corner by the tithes and offering box, perfect place, right? By the tithes and offering box, there is a one-year Bible reading plan. So you can grab that if you need it. Don't start last week, okay? You'll feel like you're falling behind. It'll become a burden. And the last thing we ever want is for the Bible to become a burden. And so you can pick that up in the back. But as you read through the Bible and you read through the scriptures, you'll see that the Christian life, it is likened to many things. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, and I don't have these scriptures up here for you. I'm not going to quote the whole thing just for time's sake. I want to keep this one under an hour and a half, so I'm not going to quote them all, so you can write them down and go back and read them later. But in 1 Corinthians 9, 29, he said, the Christian life is like a fight. He said, thus I fight. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold of eternal life. In writing to the Ephesians in chapter 6, he compared the Christian life to a wrestling match. Again, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he compared the Christian life to a war. Fights, wrestling matches, and wars. Did they tell you that's what you were signing up for when you accepted Jesus? Because that's what, you know, when you read, you look at fans going back on. Boom. Didn't take long for that to happen, did it? That's the Christian life. It's hard to say that. It's a hard thing to explain, because the Christian life, I would rather live the hard Christian life than the easy non-Christian life, right? Because the Christian life is very, very difficult. But at the same time, it's incredibly awesome. And I couldn't imagine living a life that wasn't, you know, in fellowship with the Lord. And so, but this is the reality of it, right? The wars, you know, wars, wrestling matches, fights. And for some, these things are literal and they're physical. For others, these things are, most of us, I bet, in here, this is probably, it's a spiritual thing. It's right here. The wars, the fights, the battles, the wrestling matches, they're all right here, because it's a spiritual battle and it's very real. Now, here in chapter 12, the author, he compares the Christian life to a race. Again, he says here in verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you know you're in a race? I don't want to race. I don't want to run. I don't even run. Can I walk it? I can walk with endurance. You know, but we're in a race. Some people don't like competition, but that's the reality of the Christian life. We're competing. We're competing not against each other. We're competing against ourselves. We're competing against the flesh in this race. And some people, like, again, I don't want to race, but it doesn't work that way. Because when God saved you, you were entered into, again, this spiritual race that we call the Christian life. And it doesn't take long after you start running this race to realize that, you know what, I thought this was going to be way easier than it actually is. It doesn't take long to realize that this race that we call the Christian life, it's not a sprint. It's not a 10,000 meter even. It's a longer, is there a race longer than a marathon? If there's that's what the Christian life is. Because it's a marathon type race. And unfortunately, in every marathon, people drop out. I think back to Bible college. I went to Bible college with Shannon and Micah here at the same time, my wife as well. And unfortunately, we can compile a pretty long list of people that we went to school with in 2 years, well, really 3 years between the four of us, that are no longer walking with the Lord. They started off strong, man. Worship, even leading worship, some of them, even teaching devotions to other students, some of them, no longer walking with the Lord. And I wonder, you know, sometimes when I think back to some of them, really most of them, what choked them out was the cares of this world. But others had other difficulties go on, other things in their life that caused them to question the goodness of God. Others were lured away by philosophy and, again, things of this world. But I wonder if part of the problem was they didn't even realize that they were in a race with an opponent. Because that's important. The Bible's very clear that we are in a race and God wants us to win this race. He wants us to finish this race. But we have to know we are in a race to win it. Sometimes my wife and I, we will race on the way home from church, you know, and we'll get home and I'll be like, I beat you. Yeah, I beat you. And she'll be like, I didn't know we were racing. I'll be like, exactly. Because, you know, she's got a nice, you know, her car's faster than my little four-banger Jeep. And if she knew we were racing, I ain't going to have her beat her. And I'm stubborn, and I'll take what I think is a shortcut. I digress. And it's hard to win a race when you don't know you're in it, right? She'd beat me if she knew we were in the race. Your opponent, the adversary, the devil, would love for you to not understand that you're in a race, that you're competing. Paul asked the Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not run that race? Do you not know those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. In other words, he's saying, do you realize in your race that there's a finish line, right? Do you realize that there's a finish line? And at the finish line, there's actually a reward for those who finish it. So you got to understand that we're in a race. There is a finish line, but also we need to understand that there's a reward. But another thing about a race, if you want to finish, if you want to win, if you want to finish a marathon, right? You enter a marathon, you get that packet right before you enter it in. It puts a shirt on there saying, I ran the whatever New York marathon or whatever, or even the bridge run. And you're like, hey, I thought you pulled out about mile 4. Why are you wearing that shirt? Like, if I don't want to be that person that pulls out, if I want to finish this race, then you know what? Just very practically, I need to know the nature of the race, do I not? I need to understand that it's filled with, that it's a long race. I need to understand that the course that God has set before me is a difficult course. It's a hard course. It can't just be sprint. It's long. It takes endurance. And we learned a few chapters ago, I think it was in chapter 10, that we don't just wake up with endurance, right? We're called to run with endurance, but we don't just wake up with endurance. What would happen if I just said today, hey, I'm gonna run around the block. I'm not gonna be able to run around, I'm probably gonna hurt myself. And so you have to build up endurance. But each one of us this morning, we have our own race. You have your own court. We call it the race of the Christian life, but it's distinct to every Christian life. The finish line is the same. The reward is the same because the reward is Jesus. We'll see that at the end, spoiler alert. But we all have the same courses or more difficult than others. But every course, none of these courses are easy. No course is ran in Kansas. No course is flat with the wind at your back. These courses, all of them, they're ran through peaks and valleys. And as we've just read, in all of these courses, there's fights and wars and wrestling matches. And if we want to finish this race, we need to know that we're in the race. And we need to know the nature of the race so that these peaks and valleys, they don't catch us by surprise. Man, I didn't know this hill was here. I thought it was all downhill from here. No. I didn't know there was gonna be a fight in the middle of this marathon. Well, the Bible tells you that there will be. We need to understand that. I think when I look back at a lot of our friends that have dropped off the faith, I think it's because things popped up in the middle of this race. Sometimes in those valleys is often when the devil can get people out of the race because they look at that hill that they have to climb and they're like, man, coming down was fine. Being down here, you know what? It's a lot easier than being up here, so I'm just gonna drop out. And that's what happens because they don't know the nature of their race. And lastly, to finish the race, you need to understand the greatness of the reward at the end of the race. That's, if you don't have an understanding of the reward that comes at the end of a race, I'm talking spiritual, I'm talking practical. Why would you ever run it? Why would you ever participate in a race if there was nothing to gain? Christian, we have a reward at the end of this race that puts everything into perspective, a reward that is so great when it's received, you don't even remember how hard the race was. Kind of makes me think about, you know, childbirth, right? Never done it. Seen it happen 4 times, right? Like, I think that's probably the hardest race any human ever has to run, right? Is the race of childbirth. I think, you know, Harley's going through it right now or for the last week. And I remember, some of you have heard this story, but I remember distinctly, again, we have 4 children. My oldest is Jude, he's 16. And Jess is in the middle of labor. And I remember saying, you never have to do this again, right? Because I'm like, why would you ever want to do that again? We have 4 kids now, right? Because the reward, that child, he saw the reward, it was worth everything. Moms, you know, in a crazy way, why it's worth it. I don't know. I would just had one and been done. But the reward is worth it. And we have to understand that in the Christian life, that the reward is worth it. Now, we also have to understand there are times in every race, especially when they're long, when they get longer, it doesn't seem like the race will ever end. The reward seems so far away that you even wonder, like, hey, is the reward even there? Have you ever been there where you're just like, man, in the middle of this race that we call the Christian life, and you're just like, man, I'm just tired. I'm tired of this wrestling match that I feel like I'm going through. I'm tired of this struggle of the between the flesh and the spirit. I'm tired of trying to discern what God wants to do in my life. I'm tired of trying to raise godly children. And you're just tired. You ever felt that way? Just, man, I'm just tired. I just want to give up. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk to people. You know. And on top of that, sometimes some of us, we're dealing with our own stuff, our own burdens, and we're carrying the burdens of others, and you're just exhausted, and you feel like the easiest thing to do would be to quit. And unfortunately, we see it in a ministry all the time, people quitting. I saw an article this week, actually, posted by another pastor about pastors, but I don't think it's just for pastors, but it said every year an estimated 4,000 to 5,000 pastors quit. And not because they quit having faith, not because they quit believing in God, but they quit because they are overwhelmed with mental exhaustion, because the race is difficult. And that's not just for pastors, right? That's for anyone that desires to serve the Lord. That's for anyone that wants to run this race. It gets difficult. Again, each of us have a course that God has set before us, and God wants us to run. And no matter what the course is, there are points in it where it's really hard. And what's interesting about that, when I say that, like I can think of like, there's points in my Christian walk that have been really hard. But if I were to like step outside of myself and like watch myself going through what I call hard, I'd be like, that's not even hard, right? Like, what are you talking about how this is hard? Because this person outside doesn't know what I'm dealing with here, right? And here, and that's what makes it difficult. Physically, I'm not suffering. Like, you know, I'm not in danger, verse 4, of bloodshed, or I've never been hung to a cross. But man, I've been tempted. I've doubted. I've had a lack of faith. You know, that spiritual struggle, it's real. And that's where these Hebrews are going through. These Hebrew believers that the author is writing to, they wanted to quit. They started off really strong. They started off stronger than most believers start. We're told back in chapter 10, verses 32 and 34, how they endured great struggles. They suffered reproach and tribulations. They even accepted losing everything for their faith. It says they allowed their plunder, their goods to be plundered. Why? Because they understood that the reward at the end was worth losing everything in the now, because it was all about the end. They had a strong start, man. That's a strong start. But again, like any long race, there became moments when you become mentally, emotionally, physically beat. And that's where some of these Hebrews, some of them quit. They turned around. Others, they're still running, but they're not running well. And so the author here in chapter 12, he's like a great coach in this race. And he's going to give us some vital tips, some vital coaching, you know, tips, I guess. He's going to coach them up and how to finish the race. And how to finish it strong. Again, he says, verse 1, therefore, he's referring back to chapter 11, these 18 men and women specifically listed, other men and women not specifically listed, but their sufferings and the things they went through were. Therefore, these people, right, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Again, the author connecting from chapter 11, he says, look at them. Look at their faith. We just read at the end of chapter 11, if you were with us last week, where it talks about they finished, man. They finished their race by faith, and they didn't even have the promise. Who was the promise? The promise was the Messiah. And he says, man, they were able to finish the race just looking to the Messiah. They hadn't even seen the Messiah, but they were looking forward to him, and that faith allowed him to finish. And he says here, that is a great cloud of witness, cloud of witness that surrounds us. Now, let me try to bring some clarity with what that means, because it is debated. It's not really, shouldn't be a debate. But when it says that they surround us, I don't think that means Daniel and Amos are up there being like, come on, Josh, run your weight. Man, you're struggling in your race. Oh, fell again. Get up, man, get up, go. I don't think that's what the author is talking to or about when he says this great cloud of witness. And again, maybe some of you do. I've heard some pastors that I greatly respect. They do think it's a stadium type atmosphere. We're on the playing field and they're watching us. I personally, and when I read the scripture, I could be wrong, but I don't know how heaven could be heaven if my grandma's up there watching me and be like, Josh screwed up again. Man, he did. I just don't understand how if she's watching me, or, you know, Paul's watching us, like, look at these guys. Go read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, see what I went through, and you're struggling. You know, I don't know. I could be wrong. You could disagree with me, and that's okay. But I think instead, the author, using this word witness, he isn't implying people are watching, but he's implying that their testimony is a witness that surrounds us. It's a testimony that encourages us because we can see all around us, not even these listed here, but any saint that's went on before us, we can see that they finished. And we can see they finished well. You think of Hudson Taylor, Elizabeth Elliot. You think of, guys that even struggled with things like Charles Spurgeon, you know? You're like, Spurgeon struggled? Oh, yeah, he had issues. And so, but he finished. And it got me thinking this week, what kind of witness will I leave with my family? Right? Not just what kind of witness do I have with them now while I'm here on this earth, but what kind of witness will I leave? Because I want to leave with my kids and my grandkids and my great-great-grandkids a witness that encourages them to finish whatever race God puts before them. Because this I do know, that the course my kids have to run, the course that their kids have to run, and their kids have to run, should the Lord tarry, will be probably far more difficult than the course I've had to run, because the world isn't getting any better. It's going to be tough. And so I hope I leave a witness where they can look back and say, you know, great Papa Josh or whatever they're going to call me is, man, he was you guys are going to start calling me great Papa Josh, right? Dang it. I just set myself up. Oh man, I love my church. Oh man, I should change my Twitter handle now. But I want them to be able to say, like, man, great Papa Josh, he wasn't perfect. Man, there were times that he wanted to doubt. There was times when he wanted to quit, but he kept his eyes on the reward and he finished. I don't want the story to be, oh, man, great granddad Josh, man, he did so, he started off strong. He started off strong in so many things, but you know what? He never finished. When things got hard, he gave up. He just tried to do something else. What type of testimony, man? They left a testimony, a witness to us. What type of testimony and a witness do I want to leave, that we want to leave, to the people who come behind us? I hope that should the Lord tarry 50 years from now, people will drive by Calvary Chapel West Ashley somewhere and be like, wow. Man, they went through COVID, they met in a smelly fellowship hall, and then the Lord did this, and then the Lord did that, right? Like, what a witness that would be. We've had plenty of opportunities to say, no, we're done, we're good. But what a witness would that be? So the author says, right, like, if you want to finish strong, like, I need you, there's things you're going to have to do. And the first thing you need to do, he says, is I need you to lay aside every weight. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't, just take off the weights. Every neighborhood, especially in a subdivision like mine, always has, you know, that dude that is super physically fit, that's running through the neighborhood. It's like, come on, bro, you're making me jealous. Put a shirt on, right? Like, we all know, that if you're not gonna admit it, you know what I'm talking about. We all have those guys. And there's this one dude that runs through my neighborhood. He's huge. I don't know how he's not a professional football player. And he's always wearing a weighted jacket, like if he needed it. And I'm like, that's crazy. But I'm sure he competes in something. And I'm sure if he competed in a race, he would take that jacket off, because no matter how strong he was, that jacket's going to weigh him down. No matter how strong he is and how hard he runs, that jacket will affect his time. It's a weight. And he's to put it to be the best he can, he needs to take it off. And so the question here is, here, Christian, are you trying to run your race with weights? Is there anything in my life? We ask ourselves, we ask the Lord to search us. Is there anything in our spiritual race, anything that's holding us back? If you do, the Holy Spirit says, hey, lay them off. What are things that are holding us back from walking to the things that God wants us to do? And we're not talking about sin right now, y'all, because we haven't got there yet. That's next. They're separate, weights and sin. Did you see that? Because we all can come up with sins, but we're talking about weights. We're talking about liberties that we may have in the Christian life that are actually holding us back. And they could be different. Like what could be a weight for me might not be a weight for you. What could be a weight for you might not be a weight for me. And so do we have any weights? You might ask yourself too, like how do I know if I have any weights? Because this could be a fine line right here where we can go from, you know, wanting to actually truly take off things that is holding us back and legalism. right? So there could be a fine line here because we do want to remove those things that are holding us back. But again, we don't want to be legalistic. I think it gets legalistic when you try to take off other people's weights, the weights that you have actually put on them. So that's when it becomes legalistic. But if you want to discern if you got a weight or not, is there something that's holding you back, right? It could be your couch. It could be your comfort. It could be, for some of us, it could be our personalities, right? I just don't like to be around people. I'm an introvert. I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to be around them. That's just who I am. No, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? Like, that's God created us to be in community and in relationship and in fellowship with one another. And if you're clinging to this, like, oh, I just don't want to be around people, that's a weight. You need to lay it aside. Others, it's our time. Oh, I'm just so busy and I got so much going on. Okay, I know, but how much of your time is spent genuinely and how much of your effort is spent and your energy is spent for the goal of the upward call of Christ Jesus? That's a weight. If it's keeping us from what God is calling us to or walk in or to progress in our race, it's a weight. If it's distracting us, if it robs us of our enthusiasm. Paul said to the Corinthians, all things are lawful for me. Everyone loves that verse. But everyone loves, hates the second part. What's the second part? But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful. Yes, amen. But not all things edify. Oh yeah, you're right, Paul. It's true. If it's not helping me, if it's not building me up in my spiritual race, then it's a weight and it needs to be laid aside. And listen, I'm not saying this is easy. Some weights are heavy and they're hard to lift, right? And we're going to talk about that in a second. If you're thinking to yourself, man, how do I get rid of this weight? Because we'll get there. But some of us this morning, you know the weights in your life. And maybe you just don't want to take them off. Right? I think that's very common in our culture today and in the church where, you know, I'm probably speaking to a lot of us, most of us in some way, that there's a weight that you really don't want to take off because you're trying to justify it. It's not that big of a deal. I don't think it's holding me back. If man, that's where we have to be real with ourselves before God and be like, you know what? This thing that is a liberty has become a weight. And I need to lay it aside. Because you realize that you can't run the race the way that God wants us to run it with that weight on. It's no matter how hard you run, maybe no matter how good you are and how strong you are at running, it is holding you back in some way. And before we move on, let me point to something else that might be a weight for some people in here today. It's a weight that the devil loves to use. And it's the weight of their past, where they've been, the things they've done, the thoughts that they've had, the sins that they've committed, things that you wish you wouldn't have done. Paul knew what that was like, right? He had a past. Oh, did he have a past? Literally killed Christians. None of us have done that, right? We haven't done that? Cool. He had a past. And you know what he said? Think about how that would weigh on you, just mentally. And how you would just have to like cling to like just be in awe and enamored of God's grace to know, man, I killed Christians and now I'm being used to save Christians and God, you're still using me. And just like, wow, why would you do that? I think we all should have those moments with the Lord. But this is what he said. It's like, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press, that word run and press, the same idea. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul recognized, yeah, who I was, that was terrible, but that's not who I am. I made bad decisions, but that doesn't count anymore. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me of all unrighteousness, and he doesn't even remember those things that I did before I was saved because I've been forgiven. So you know what I do with that stuff? If he forgets it, I forget it. I'm going to press on. You might be thinking, well, what about the things that I committed when I was saved? The things that I'm doing now, the things that I'm thinking now, the things that I'm entering in now that I regret and... Have you confessed? Yeah. Have you been forgiven? I know he forgives me. I think Paul would say to you the same thing. Press on. Because the same principle applies about the blood of Jesus Christ. Wiping away the sins. Man, you don't remember it. He's faithful to forgive you. So we can't let them, because everyone has a past. We all have a past. I'd explain to you my past a little bit more, but my mom's here. I don't want to hurt her. So it's kind of a joke. But we all have a past. We do. We all have things that we wish we didn't do. We regret decisions that we've made. And the Holy Spirit just says, press on. Don't let that hold you back. Don't let the enemy use that to hold you back, because that's not who you are anymore. Press on. So the author says again, right? If you want to finish the race, you need to know that you're in the race. You need to know that the nature of the race. You need to take those weights off so you can actually run the race effectively. You also need to lay something else aside, and that's sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Here's the radical truth. If I'm trying to run the Christian race effectively, if I'm trying to walk into the things that God has called me to while living in continual unrepentant sin, it doesn't just make a hard race harder, it makes a hard race impossible. It can't be done. We cannot run the race that we cannot run in this race if we have unrepented habitual sin. You might ask, well, why? Because it says this sin, it so easily ensnares us. It's because sin traps you from being able to run. I don't know how many people that can run when they're trapped. Right? You're trapped in jail. Where are you running to? Just running back and forth. You might say, I am running, Pastor. I'm running. You don't know things that are going on in my life. I'm walking in sin. You don't even know about it, but I'm running. I'll tell you right now, you're on a hamster wheel. Going like this. That's what's happening. You're going round and round and round. You know what's happening? You're getting tired, and you're getting tired, and you're not going anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere. And you know what's going to happen? Boom, you're going to get off that hamster wheel. You're going to say, I'm done. That's what happens. That's why so many people drop out of the race, because they're unwilling to come before the Lord and be like, man, Lord, this is a sin in my life, and it's at a stronghold over me. And I know you set me free from it, and I know you need to, you got to do something, God, because I'm trapped. There's no way out when you're trapped unless you call on Jesus. He's the only way that can get you out of the snares of sin. Which so easily, right? I hope you underline that in your Bible. They easily ensnare us. That implies we're talking about small things. Things that we justify. Things that we defend. Things that we don't think that big of a deal. Oh, it's just fun jokes, right? Oh, it's just a thought. No one knows. Before you know it, you're trapped. You ever felt like you're trapped? Maybe some of us sitting here right now, if we're real with the Lord, maybe we're feeling trapped. Maybe we're feeling like we're on a hamster wheel, but you don't know why. Because you don't see or think that there's anything specifically, you know, holding you back. And you're like, oh, but I still feel like I'm on a hamster wheel. I bet that's a couple people in here. Like, why am I on this hamster wheel, Lord? But this is where David, I think he felt the same way. He was like talking about his enemies and all this stuff. And he's like, man, I want to progress. What do I need to do to progress? You know what he said in Psalm 139 verses 23 through 24? Write this down. Save this. Use this as a memory verse. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He knew that, man, the deceptiveness of his heart was so much more evil than he could even like always be aware of. That he said, hey man, if there's something holding me back, Lord, I need you to show me so I can give it to you. And maybe that's a prayer some of us need to make this morning. And when he shows you, because he will, he's faithful, we lay it down. Because when people don't, right? When people want to hold on to something that God says get rid of, when they say, when they don't say, I'm done with it, I'm not going to let, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm going to choose Jesus. When they don't say that, again, they get so tired on that hamster wheel. And the results are devastating. We see it happen far, far too often. Justin and I were talking about some people that we knew way back in the day, even served with, and we were just like, man, this is crazy how they've just ruined their lives. And the sad part is they don't even realize it, you know, that they've fallen out of the race, they've jumped off, and they just don't even realize it anymore. And it's sad. At the same time, you know, when you're trying to hold on to that habitual sin, I've also met a lot of people that sin didn't necessarily cause them to drop out of the race, but sin disqualified them from the race. You know, like, well, how does that work? Because there's a lot of people, especially in leadership in the church, there's unrepentant sin in their life, and they thought they could keep running, and their pride and their reputation, you know, kept them from dropping out. Like, I'm not going to drop out. I can't let people know. If I drop out, man, that I'm just going to look really bad. So I'm going to keep running in this hamster wheel. You're not going anywhere. I know, but I'm going to keep running. So eventually, the Lord's going to be like, all right, you're disqualified. Your sin will become, it will become exposed somehow. It'll be brought to the light somehow in some way. In some time. Sometimes it takes a long time. But unfortunately, again, we've seen this far too often in ministry, in pastors. How often have we heard, oh, Pastor so-and-so, man, he fell. He had an affair. Pastor so-and-so, he fell because he had this, you know, side thing going on. Or it's like, man, because they thought they could run in habitual sin, this race of the Christian life, and they were disqualified. Paul understood the dangers of being disqualified. He understood the wicked. He said he understood that the wickedness of his flesh, that nothing good dwelt in him, and he said, "I don't want anything to disqualify me." Paul didn't think that he was not susceptible trying to run this race in sin. He understood how easily sin can ensnare him, and he was very aware and said, "I don't want anything to disqualify me." Side note real quick, as I referred to like pastors that have been disqualified and church leaders and things like that, or anyone that gets disqualified from ministry, when we talk about this in the context of disqualification, I'm not necessarily saying they're disqualified from the Christian life, right? As far as being saved. Okay, that's a whole different discussion. Like, were they saved? Were they not saved? I don't know. I don't really care because I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't want to have to ask that question. Was I saved? Was I not? Because I don't want to be disqualified. But what I'm talking more about is like when someone's disqualified, like if I were to mess up and I don't know, do something dumb, and my board would have to remove me. They're going to remove me from my role as a pastor. I'm disqualified from being a pastor. I'm not disqualified for being a child of God, right? Because there's no sin that cannot be forgiven, right? So yes, so while I'm disqualified from opportunities that God had for me. And that I don't want to miss. That's what Paul was talking about. Paul knew he wasn't going to be kicked out of the Christian life or the body of Christ. He was saying, I just don't want to miss out on opportunities that I might have, so I don't want anything to disqualify me. So the author says, we lay aside the weights and the sin that easily hold us back, and we run this race, it says, with endurance. Now, this might be that point in the Bible study that where we come and you hear the preacher saying, you got to do this. You got to do that. And I know that some of us think this because I think this very often. Actually, I try to build most of the Bible studies with this like outline in mind that someone's going to ask, well, how do I do that? How do I take off these weights that I can't lift? How do I lay aside this sin that has me so trapped? How do I do this? Because some of you might be thinking, man, I feel like I'm in a cycle. I take off the weights one day, I put them on the next day. I take off I lay aside the sin, but then what happens? I come back around and I pick it up again. And you feel like you're stuck in a cycle. Paul knew this cycle very well. You know what Paul said? Well, it's a famous verse. Paul said, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what the author is saying right here, right? You're like, okay, you need to put this stuff away. You need to run the race with endurance. Okay, how author, Mr. Unknown Author that we don't know who you are, how do I do this? Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. How do we run this race? We look to Jesus. Have you ever done a physical run or marathon? Again, I'd even say childbirth, most difficult race any human will have to run, I think. But for fear of saying something I shouldn't, because I've never actually experienced that, I'm going to refer to the marathon. So, which I've never actually experienced that either, but that's a safer route. So, yeah. Hey y'all, I've done a half of a half of a half a marathon. Killed it back in the day. But again, in that race, in the marathon, there becomes, someone just said, that's like 2 miles. But again, there comes a point in this race, in this marathon where you hit the wall, your muscles ache, your feet hurt, there are thoughts of wanting to quit. And in these moments, what you focus on matters. And you might be thinking, well, how do you even know that, Josh, if you've never ran a marathon? It's because I asked someone who did. many of you know, he's not here today, unfortunately, but because his daughter's sick, but many of you know Mike McGee. His wife's actually in the children's ministry today. He just ran a marathon, I don't know, a little over a month ago. And anyone else ran a marathon? No? Okay. I just thought I'd throw it out there. Walk it, yeah, hey, if you can walk 26 miles, that counts. I don't even want to drive 26 miles. But I asked Mike, and I said, you know, I asked him about his experience. And I go, what happened, like, when it got hard? At what point did you ever hit a wall? And he said, yeah. And he said, yeah, I hit a wall. And the wall that I hit was at the 16 mile mark, which is the longest I'd ever ran before. And he said, it wasn't as much physical. He's like, yeah, my body was tired, but it was more mental. He said, when he hit the wall, he said, negative thoughts were all over the place. Thoughts of wanting to give up, thoughts of wanting, can't being able to do that. And just like thoughts, I'm never going to finish. He said, all these things went through his head. And so, I mean, does that sound familiar though? I mean, just think about that for the Christian life. How often does that happen in your walk? Man, you kind of hit that wall. You're like, man. And all the negative thoughts. You know why that happens? Because again, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And so I asked, I was like, well, what'd you do? What'd you focus on? How did you get through that? And I love the stuff that he said. He said, I focused on the task at hand. Every breath, every step. I'm just reading kind of verbatim what he said to me, and to just keep moving to get to the end. You see how the Christian life is like a race, and the task at hand, you know, that we place our focus on is Jesus. But I like how he put it though. The focus, he even said, he's like, the focus, I had to have an active focus. I had to actively think about every breath. I had to actively think about every step. And that's how I got to the end. And I think it's one thing, we can say we're looking unto Jesus. Oh, yeah, I'm looking to Jesus. But how, bro, how are you looking to Jesus? Oh, I'm looking, I got a picture, and I'm looking at him. And I'm not going to say that can't work, right? But there's, I feel like when we're looking at Jesus, and I hope I'm not stretching this too much. I mean, we need to be actively looking at him. What does that mean? Actively through prayer, actively be in prayer, actively be in his word, actively be involved in fellowship, actively stepping into service, actively looking on towards Jesus. He is the focus. He gets us to the end. I mean, we can say we're looking at him, but are we really looking at him? If I'm not in his word, how do I see him? How do I hear him? If you actively focus on Jesus, I love what it says next, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. meaning that the same Jesus, the author that puts you in the race, he started it. He's also the finisher that will get you through it. You look to him, look to the finisher. He'll get you through it. Philippians 1:6, a memory verse for many people, maybe a lot of you in here, saying, says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's faithful. He's going to get you through the race. Even when you fall, and we will fall, there's going to be times in the race you're going to stumble, you're going to bruise a knee or whatever, and he's going to get you up. He's going to clean off your wounds. He's going to put you back in the race. And you might say, well, Pastor, but if I fall, and this is the thing, this is where people just drop out because they fall. Right? I fell in the race. I'm going to lose now. No, you're not going to lose. You know why? Because you're competing against yourself. You're not competing against anyone else. You're competing against the flesh. You're competing against the enemy. And Jesus has picked you up. Jesus put you back in the race. Man, you're going to finish it. Don't look at anyone else. Oh, I fell so far behind. You did. That's a bummer. Get up and keep running. And he'll get you through. He'll help you finish. So many people drop out when they fall. Like, oh, I fell. I'm done. What you focus on matters. It does. I know when I'm kind of in those moments of, oh man, I'm just going to get a job. It'd be so much easier. And just, you know, and I'm feeling like tired. I just want to give up and quit. And I can almost 100% of the times trace it back to what am I focusing on? And you know what? Often I realized this week, actually, because I had one of those moments this week. You almost didn't have a pastor this week. Do you know that? No, that didn't get that close. But I had one of those moments this week. And what I realized, what I was focusing on, is because I thought I was focusing on Jesus, but what I was focusing on was working for Jesus rather than focus on being with Jesus. That's where I realized my focus was off. Because the working part, it's all good, but that gets exhausting. Unless you're focus on being with him, you'll be strengthened, right? You'll get through the race. So the author says, look to Jesus for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. I love this, right? Jesus and his humanity, he had a race to run and he finished his race. You know, Jesus had a focus. How did Jesus finish? Why did Jesus start the race? How did he finish the race? He was focused on something. What was he focused on? The joy that was set before him. What was the focus? You. You were the focus. You were set before him. Being in relationship with you, seeing you in glory. That's what he was focused on, right? Because he was tempted. Remember, Father, is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me. He could have called, 12 billion angels. It doesn't say that many, but he could have if he wanted to. He could have taken himself off. They even know, like, you said you can save yourself. Do it, right? Like, he could have. But the joy, you were set before him. That's why. You, the joy that was set before him. It's as if the writer is saying, hey, runner, you're tired. You're hurting. You want to quit. You want to give up. You're actually on the ground because you've fallen. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Then he says also in verse 3, and we're almost done. It says, look to Jesus, but then also consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Not only look to Jesus, but consider him. Consider what he endured for you during his race. Think about his race, the things that he went through, the shame, the rejection, the hostility, the homelessness, the, you know, not being, his family not even, you know, wanting anything to do with him for the most part, being rejected from his own home, like spat on, despised, no matter what he did. It puts it in perspective when you consider what he endured because I was set before him. Because I've never resisted to bloodshed. I've never been hung on a cross. I've never, you know, I've really never had to despise shame. It puts it in perspective. When you really consider what he went through on his race, it puts it all in perspective. So if this is the point. If Jesus finished his race for me, then I want to finish my race for him. If his joy was seeing me in glory, and that's what helped him finish the race, then let my joy be seeing him in glory to help me finish to win the race. Amen? Right? Think about the things that we're dealing with now, not making light of anything that anyone might be wrestling with or fighting with or at war against or any hill that you feel like you're having to rub. I'm not making light of any of that. I'm encouraging to you to actively look to Jesus and consider him, and he will strengthen you and he will get you through. Flip over real quick. We're going to end here. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. You can flip over there if you have a Bible. If you use a phone, you can type it in or however you do that. I just want you to see it. Underline it. Make notes. Acts chapter, Paul, he had just gotten done talking about the chains and the tribulations that the Holy Spirit awaited him in every city. Basically, he's like, I know the Holy Spirit already told me every city I go to, I'm going to be beaten and I'm going to be put into jail. And you know what his response to that was? Verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Again, Paul faced a lot of things. I'm not trying to paint Paul as a superhero. What I am trying to paint Paul as an example of someone who was solely focused on Jesus. A lot of things could have moved him. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you've never had, go see the things that Paul dealt with and how God was faithful and how God sustained him through all of that. And he said, I'm not going to let any of these things move me. I'm going to finish my race and I'm going to finish it with joy. See, God, he doesn't want us to just to get to the finish line. That's going to be awesome. But he wants us to get there with joy, that this life wouldn't be a burden, that it wouldn't be some, like I was trying to say earlier, it's hard, but it's wonderful. He wants us to get to the end with joy. Let each of us run the race that he has given us. Let each of us, walk in the ministry that he has given us with joy. I'm not in ministry. Are you a mom? You're in ministry. You're raising up children. Are you a dad? Hey, you're in ministry. Guess what? You're raising up children too. That's your ministry. Husband, do you have a wife? Yeah, that's your first ministry. Wives, you have a husband? Yeah, okay, that's your first ministry. You're in a ministry. Well, I don't have any of those things. Okay, do you have a friend? That's your ministry. Nope, loner. Do you go to work? I mean, you can keep trying to start, everyone has been given a ministry, right? Everyone, employer, employee. The author, I want to look to Jesus, consider Jesus, and finish our race, finish the ministry which he has set before us with joy. Think about this, and worship team, you can come up. This is really an awesome reality to consider as we close and enter into worship, that Jesus, he put us in the race, right? He's the author. He strengthened us in the race as we look unto him. He helps us finish the race because he's the finisher. And the Bible tells us at the end of the race, we get a reward, right? But then what are we gonna do with those rewards? We're gonna throw him at his feet. We're gonna bow down. We're gonna worship. You know what the significance of throwing the rewards at his feet is? It's because those don't matter. The reward is him. Like, why would you throw your rewards at his feet? Keep the rewards. No, those don't matter anymore because you're with your reward. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived and died for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And Lord, you are our reward, God. And we look unto you, our great reward. When we go through difficult times on this course that you've set before us, we all do. If we say we don't, we're lying to ourselves and we're lying before you. The Christian life's difficult, Lord, but it brings so much blessing, and in it, there's so much joy, God, because of you and your presence, the author and the finisher, Lord, strengthening us through the middle of the race, meeting us in those valleys when we fall, picking us up, putting us back on the track, Lord, even when even when we don't deserve. God, I pray for anyone right now that maybe it's people in here that have dropped out of the race. I don't want to walk this Christian life anymore. I'll just go through the motions. I'll just act like I am, but I don't really want to. Lord, put them back in. You make the race. You set the rules. You can put them back in. Grab them. Speak to their hearts. For anyone in here that's tired in the middle of their race, and I believe there's probably more than one. We know that when we are weak, you are strong. And I pray that you would uphold us, Lord, that you would be right there running with us. I picture a marathon runner who gets hurt at the very end of the track of the race, and you know, someone else comes and helps them get across the finish line. Lord, that might be some of us in here that we need you to come underneath us. Thinking about that scripture, I think it's in the Psalms, like set upon eagle's wings, like you just come underneath us and we just are on your wings and you lift us up, Lord. We trust that you'll get us there, Lord. If there's anything in our lives that you've revealed to us today that it's holding us back in our race, it's making our race far more difficult than it should be, I pray that you would reveal those things to us and that we'd be faithful and honest before you to put away those things, God, and seek accountability in them too. God, I love you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the timeliness of your word and how it speaks directly into our lives. We love you and in your name we pray, amen.